of what he does for us, but mostly because of his character and his person. Lord, we praise you and we thank you this morning. We want to give you praise and glory and honor and just value you higher than anything that we have in our lives, any trials we are going through, troubles, anything that we count as being important, valuable. We place you higher and higher still above it all. We give you all the glory and all the praise, for you alone, Lord, are worthy of it all. You have redeemed us. Hallelujah. We didn't even know we were redeemable. Hallelujah. But you knew it, O God. For you have all that you have given to Christ shall come, and we are here. So speak to us now with your word in our hearts, that we may become one with you, Lord, that we may have true fellowship and true oneness with you, Father God, that we may be, Lord, a part, a bigger part of your family, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Isn't he a beautiful God? Amen. It's good to be here again in the house of God, just to get an opportunity to worship and to take some time out of our busy schedules, our week, and to take just set aside some time to just give God all the glory and all the praise. Amen. We're going to be speaking this morning and continuing with our theme on we're entering into Christmas period, what we consider the time of the birth of Jesus Christ. Well, some of us consider that, but we just honor it. It could be in the spring, could be in the fall, we don't know. We think it's in the spring, it makes the most sense, amen, but we're going to honor it. So this morning I want us to read Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 to get our thoughts. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. If you have your Bible, you can turn there. It's in the last book in the entire Bible. The third chapter, 14th verse, Christ himself is dictating a letter to the seven churches in Asia Minor. As a type of seven ages of the church, the dispensations of the church coming up. So it says, and to the angel or the messenger of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. May God bless his word. You may be seated at this time. Amen. Jesus gives himself three absolutely beautiful titles. He is the Amen, and it's fitting that he's addressing the seventh and last letter or last church, meaning that it is the end of the church age. He's addressing the very end. How many believes we're kind of at the end? This is it. He's speaking to us, and he calls himself the Amen. He's the final word. He's putting the exclamation mark on it, the crescendo. This is it. It's him. He is the Amen. He tells us not only that, but he is the faithful and true witness. How many is thankful that he is faithful? Even when you weren't faithful, he's always been faithful. Amen. And even when you're not always true and other people maybe not be true, aren't true and haven't been true to you, but Jesus is always true to us. Amen. And he's a faithful witness. And that word witness in Greek is also the word martyr. So we know that Jesus was the first to really be martyred for the truth. Amen. And that's how he will be to us. He's so faithful to us and he's so true to us that he'll even be that way all the way to death. And that's what he did for us in Calvary. Right, but the third one is the one in this Advent season. I want to really focus on this third title Jesus gives himself. He calls himself the beginning of the creation of God. It's a very strange word, a very strange title, because we can read it and think of, well, how could that be the beginning of the creation of God? We can all read Genesis 1:1, where the beginning of God creating things happened there. So how could this be? But we have to understand when Jesus arrived, God was beginning a new creation. Hallelujah. And so Christ is the creation of God, the beginning of a new creation of God. Let's go a little bit further. Jesus is the beginning of the creation of God. There are three main beginnings that Christ has had a part in. There are three main beginnings where Christ is associated. The first one is the beginning in the Bible, in John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. Amen. How many believe in Christ is the Word, right? So in the beginning was Christ the Word. You can read about him in Proverbs 8, in John 1:1, and John 17, and so on. And the second beginning is, in the beginning, God created everything, and it created everything through Christ. Hallelujah. So the Word was already there. The first beginning, the Word was there. This other beginning, he was there. Everything God created, he created through Christ. Genesis 1:1 and John 1:3 and on down. You can read many verses. Every verse in the Bible that speaks about creation identifies God the Father as the creator of everything. Do you believe that? Everything was created by God the Father. What's interesting is many of those verses also say that he created everything through Christ. Hallelujah. And not that that God had to say, hey, by the way, son, go ahead and speak the earth into existence. There wasn't that needed to be done. Simply, God was in Christ creating everything through Christ. Just like God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Everything that Christ does is because God is in him and through him. And we're looking still at one God. We're not thinking about two persons or two gods or two creatures or creators, but one creator. Many times people want to divide it up and say, well, God was over here, but Christ was the creator. But no scripture is saying that Christ created anything. It says that God created everything through Christ. And the reason I share that with you in that way is because God has a pattern of doing things. He has a way of doing things. And we can only approach God through Christ. God could only come to us through Christ. And so everything is done in that way. Christ himself is both human and God. He's both humanity and divinity. Amen? He's both deity and humanity. So that's what makes it so that God has a way that he can relate to us, and we have a way that we can relate to God. And that's how the relationship can happen and be cemented, is through Christ. Without Christ, there can't really be a successful relationship. Amen. Hallelujah. But many of those verses that we read, you know, people read these verses and they can't, you know, was the Father the creator? Was the Son the creator? It was all God and doing it through his means. Praise the Lord for that. There's multiple verses that tell us that Christ was not a separate divine being from God, his Father, or a separate divine person in a sense of another God or another deity, but that he was the very expression of the person of God. Do you believe that? Jesus Christ is the one declaring God. He's expressing God. He is the exact representation of Almighty God. When we see Jesus, we get to see God, because God himself is invisible. The Bible in Colossians 1:15 says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Now, some translations added the word over all creations, but over is not actually there in the original language. The reason they do that is because the Jehovah's Witnesses came out with the idea that since Jesus is the firstborn of all creation, he was the first created being. That's not the terminology being used in the Bible. He's using the word firstborn. This word, prototokos, means the beginning, the beginner, the one who starts all of creation. Hallelujah. And the fact is that he was actually a birthed one, not a created one. Praise the Lord. There is a difference. When God in eternity generated or gave birth to his son, he was birthing himself. In an invisible, the invisible God was birthing the visible himself. Hallelujah. And it's hard for us to explain it because we're talking about the infinite being there, you know. But the only thing we need to understand is, what was God doing and why was he doing it? He was drawing already in eternity, coming closer to us. He already cared about us. He already loved us. He already wanted us to connect with him. He was becoming or condescending to a place where he could connect with us. Does that make sense? Otherwise, if he just wanted to have found a religion and started a religion, he could have stayed invisible and just stepped out and said, boo, here and there, and everybody would jump and fall down and they would worship God, right? But God did not want us to be robots, be robotic. He did not want us to worship him just because we feared him, you know, and we have to do it if we don't do it. He wants us to do it with our whole heart. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. How can we love him if we can't connect the right way? And so he starts becoming one of us. Does that make sense? And that's the reason for the birth in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. What was God doing? God was beginning this new creation, right? Firstborn does not mean that Jesus was a created being. He was birthed out of God. I'm going to use language that's used in the Bible. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 22 through 25. We're going to read verse 27, verse 30. It says, this is speaking of wisdom, and how many knows that the Bible says that Jesus, or Christ, is the wisdom of God. He is the Word of God. And so it's speaking about wisdom, and wisdom personified would have been who Christ really was in eternity. Before any creation ever happened, there was Christ. And that was God's wisdom or his word. And he says, the Lord, speaking of Almighty God, the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. Now, it's interesting because the Hebrew brought forth is the word to give birth. Hallelujah. I was brought forth. God's collective thought, his wisdom, his creative know-how was birthed in the form of Christ, the very glory of God, the very expression of God, the very thing that God would speak through and said, let there be, and there was. Can you say praise God? And that's who he was. And when there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. He says it again. And when he prepared heaven, verse 27, and when he prepared the heavens, I was there. So before the universe was ever spoken into existence, Christ was there. Why was Christ there? Because he was the one doing the speaking. Now, there wasn't a separate will or separate entity that had his own creative mind and said, let me do this, let me do that. No, it was all the same being thinking it, feeling it, envisioning it, speaking it, and causing it to come to pass. Hallelujah. So it goes on to say, when he drew the circle on the face of the deep, then in verse 30, then I was beside him as a master craftsman. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him. Amen. And you can think about how beautiful this picture is on how that God was creatively thinking and expressing himself through Christ. And the Bible tells us in John 1 that, and without him, or the word there is actually outside of him, there was nothing made that was made. God does everything through Christ. Hallelujah. And I love that, don't you? And the Bible says there in John 1, and the Word was with God, and all things were made through him. Praise the Lord. You'll see every time that the Bible talks about the Logos, or the Word, or Christ, in eternity, and at the beginning of creation, that God created everything through him. The word through him is used over and over again. Everything God does, he does through him. Now, because the Bible is written and translated to English and the way we think in the English language, when we say that mess was made by so-and-so, then the cause of the mess is the one that we just said was made by so-and-so. When you read John 1 and it says, and all things were made by him, then we say, oh, okay, then Jesus was the creator. And in some people who interpret there being more than one creator, think of that. But that's impossible because God does everything through Christ. Hallelujah. Does that make sense? And so when the scripture is written and all things were made by him, the word there is dia in Greek, which means through. all things were made through him. There is a difference. There is a difference. Amen. It doesn't make him the first cause, but it makes him the agency through which God successfully fulfills everything he plans on doing. Even God said in Isaiah, I sent my word and it will not return unto me void. Everything God does is through his word. You see why we emphasize the word so much? You see why the Bible's so important? You see why even the devil, when he tried to defeat Jesus, had to also fall back to it is written? Because he knows there's no higher place you can go than it is written. And whenever God gives birth to his word always becomes his creative agency. God can create through his word. Wherever his word is born, it can be creative. Do you see that? Because it's God creating through the word. So the third beginning is the one I want to deal with now, the beginning of the creation of God. Now, what was that all about? Now, we see a beginning here where before there was ever any angels, Christ came forth. The word was there at the beginning. And then creatively, angels were made. And then it started a new beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's the second one. Christ was there creating. But this is the third one that I want to speak about today. God bless you, brother. Come on in. Hallelujah. Welcome our brother from Jamaica. Hallelujah. Brother Hopton. It's good to have him with us. So the third time is we find that we just read in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, right? Jesus Christ is the beginning of the creation of God. Hallelujah. Very powerful. Now, pay attention to all the words. Every word has a meaning. Every sentence means something. If you can't see Christ in every part of the Bible, go back and read it again. Amen, because he's there. But what do we find in Luke chapter 1, verse 35? And the angel, that would be Gabriel, answered and said to Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is born of you will be called the Son of God. You believe that? The old creation was produced in this same way. The Bible says the Holy Spirit hovered over the earth. It was overshadowing the earth. Amen. And the power of creation began to manifest itself by speaking, let there be, until ultimately there was an Adam. God brought an Adam forth out of the womb of the earth by overshadowing the earth. Do you believe that? Amen. And 2,000 years ago, the Spirit of God once again overshadowed the earth and brought forth the second Adam. Hallelujah. In fact, if you can understand it, it was 4,000 years from Adam, the first one, that finally the first one came forth, that they fell, and God started this process of 4,000 years of hovering over the earth, hallelujah, overshadowing it, anointing prophets, speaking through prophets. What was he doing? He's getting ready to bring the second Adam. He's overshadowing, he's hovering over, and finally here comes the second Adam. Can you say praise God? Through Mary. Amen. The prophet said he had started a new creation. What was it? A creation of himself. I don't know if you caught that. Who was Jesus? Jesus was God, the Father God, creating himself as a human being. Hallelujah. How's that possible? Because God is God. He can do that. God created an embryo in Mary's womb. And he was in that embryo developing cell upon cell upon cell, developing himself. The very DNA of God in a physical form was in that little baby, that fetus, that ultimately was born. One day Jesus was born. He breathed the breath of life. The spirit that was hidden in the Shekinah glory stepped out and stepped into a little baby and was laid in a manger and started crying, Jehovah over manure, right? Jehovah over the hay, in the hay, in the manger. And there he was. He grew up. He had to, you know, skin his knees and play in the playground and work with his father's shop. He might have got little colds and sniffles and different things and had to feel all the feelings that we felt, the fear of the Roman Empire, the fear of loss, and maybe losing his dad when his dad passed away. He had to feel that. He had to understand the feeling of the loss of a loved one. Jesus went through every kind of pain, every kind of emotion, the whole range that you all go through, every temptation, every trial for 30-something years. Jesus had to deal with that because he had to be fully human. Do you believe it? He grew up. He became about 30 years old. And he went down to the River Jordan where John the Baptist was baptizing. And we read, it's been said that he was baptized in obedience to God in the water, and the dove, which was God, descending from heaven with a voice saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am pleased to dwell." What did he come to do? This is a beautiful, beautiful thing in approving his word. It's a great, great thought here. He says, what did he come to do? Why did the Holy Spirit come down? Just to give Jesus an anointing, just to drive him into the wilderness, maybe just to fulfill scripture. This day, this scripture is fulfilled before you, where Jesus reads in Isaiah that the Spirit of God has anointed me to preach the gospel. Was that what it was all about? There's something more, and I want you to catch this. Listen very carefully. Think about this for a minute. Jesus, this little embryo that became a little baby, was the beginning of the creation of God. Do you believe that? It was the beginning. If God could be a part of the creation, that was how it started. Everything else he did, the old creation, he wasn't part of it. He was just the creator of it. But this one, the creator, became the creator of himself in creation. Why? Because that created one is representing us as created ones. Old creation, but he's new creation. How do we get in the new creation? Through this one. Yes. Hallelujah. And what does he say here? What did he come to do? What was the Spirit of God descending like a dove on Jesus' baptism coming to do? To redeem that part of the earth. He was the beginning of the creation of God, and God redeemed that body. Amen. God was redeeming that body. The word redeem, sometimes we relate solely to salvation, saving something, but redeeming is a little bit has a greater meaning than simply to save something. Redeeming, because sometimes, you know, you could see a stranger drowning in water and you could throw a rope out and pull them in and you just save somebody, right? But if it's your child in the water, you don't throw the rope, you dive in yourself. You are redeeming. You see the difference. You know, you sold your watch to the pawn shop because you needed the money. Now you've got your money back, you go back to the pawn shop and you say, "Hey, I want that watch back." And you pay for it. What are you doing? You're redeeming it. You're not picking a watch out that you've never seen before and buying it. You're redeeming something that belonged to you in the first place. It was a part of you at the beginning. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? There it is. To redeem that part of the earth. He was the beginning of creation. God redeemed that body. And then he goes on and says, "And now every son where you go through water baptism, then Holy Ghost baptism, then the Holy Ghost comes down in at the fire baptism and claims this creation." Amen. God is in a claiming time. That's what the early church was all about. That's what being in the bride is all about. That's what being a son or a daughter of God is all about, is the Holy Spirit has come not just to give you power, not just to make you live the more sanctified life, but he comes to claim you for something. Amen. What is he claiming you for? Right? The same as he says, the Holy Ghost comes down at the fire baptism and claims this creation the same as it did him. The Holy Ghost comes down and claims your body for the resurrection. I want to tell you something, saints. You are claimed. What is God doing? He's claiming. He's redeeming. What happened on the day when Jesus was baptized? God was redeeming himself for himself. Oh, hallelujah. God can only redeem himself. God can only redeem himself. He's connected. He's connected. He saw Jesus come up. That's the embryo I made. That's the baby I gave birth to and entered into in an incarnation. That's me right there. Yet he's here, but he's there. God comes through that dove of the Holy Spirit and redeems himself, showing the pattern that all redemption will be God redeeming himself. Hallelujah. That's what we're a part of in this end time. Thank God for that. You are not just born again. You are not just Holy Ghost filled. You are claimed. Something of eternity is claiming something of time because this body of time has already been earmarked as part of the eternal one. Something in you is part of him. Amen. Right? If the baby Jesus was the beginning of the creation of God, remember I said pay attention to words. If Jesus was the beginning of the creation of God, God in a human form, then what were the 120 baptized with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost? What were they? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 gives us the answer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, in other words, if you've been baptized, you are being baptized into Christ, right? Baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. How many here is part of the new creation? Hallelujah. Jesus was the beginning of the new creation. Jesus was the beginning. He was the creation of God, the creator creating himself and redeeming himself so he could get an old creation and make them into a new creation in full redemption. Hallelujah. I'm a new creation. How many can say that? I'm a brand new. You're brand new. All things are passed away. All things have become new. Jesus, in his conception and his birth, was the beginning of the creation of God. That's what the Word of God is teaching us. And if there's a beginning, there's got to be more to come. Whenever there's a beginning, God doesn't begin something and abandon it. He begins it and he finishes it. He's the beginning and the end. He's the author and the finisher. Hallelujah. And if he started it in this person, in the creation of Jesus being God as a human, then he's going to continue it on the day of Pentecost and on down until this day. Hallelujah. That's what he's here doing. If there's a beginning, there's got to be more to come. Improving his word. He keeps on saying this. And he was raised for our justification. That's the scripture. How many can say amen? All that the Father has given me will come. Not one will be lost. I will raise up the last at the last day. I'll raise them all up at the last day. Not one hair of your head will even perish. Anybody lost any hairs on your head?
Yep. I know where they are.
No. You can answer that. You can say, hey, I haven't lost one hair. Because not one hair, Jesus said, of your head shall perish. Hallelujah. He said, that is the beginning of the creation of God. This is the continuation of the creation of God. Did you know that was what was said? This is the continuation. Book of Acts, now the end time. We are, you could say, the completion. Finishing the creation of God. Wow, think of it. Final revelation of the church age. Jesus is writing this letter that you can see here that God is dealing with a new creation in which Christ is the beginner. He's the first. And all that he redeems are part of that. Hallelujah. If he redeemed you, you're in it. You're part of the creation of God. Can you say praise God? Right? And then church age book. But now out of every kindred, tribe, and nation, he has purposed a new creation. He is the first of that creation. He was God created in the form of a man. Now how many knows God can't be created? He's God. But if God decides to create a body, a human being that he can live in, and that would be him, that's up to him. And that's what he did. All I'm telling you, if he could do it once, he does it. He can do it more. He can't just have a head, not a body. There has to be a body. And it's a many-membered body. So what does he say here? He is the first of that creation. He was God created in the form of man. Now by his Spirit, he is creating many sons unto himself. God, the Creator, creating himself a part of his creation. What a sentence. Wow. What is that? He says, this is the true revelation of God. The mystery of God being finished is for you to have the revelation that you are part of this new creation of God in the earth. That people may not believe in Jesus. They may not believe in God. They may not even know about whether he existed or didn't exist. But the fact is, every time you walk past them, they have just experienced Jesus, because you are the only Jesus some people will ever see. You are written epistles read of all men. You are the Word made flesh in this hour, becoming flesh in this hour, because God is creating himself a part of his creation. You see, saints, a lot of times we kind of have a, you know, beginning to end. From earthly standpoint, we have a beginning to end way of looking at things. Like, for instance, you have to look back to think about your life and where you came from and what you went through. But none of us knows how to look forward to see what we did and what we go through. We really don't really know. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Right? People are on the edge of their seats looking at this election, for example, you know, unless you're just not paying attention, but some people are, and they're worried, is it going to go this way? Is it going to go that way? People don't know how the future goes, but we know who holds tomorrow.
Amen.
Amen? And so the thing to remember is that God doesn't look at the beginning and try to plan out and hope the end comes out okay. The Bible says God declares and he knows the end from the beginning. You see, anybody who's a very good designer, artist, somebody who builds things, always starts with the end in mind. We don't really know how to live that way. We struggle with that. We kind of just take each day as it comes. You know, we get out on the river and hopefully I'll get somewhere nice. And we float on a leaf and we get somewhere. But we didn't know how we got there. But what God is teaching us is that God's way is the way of his children. He's trying to, that's why he sends prophets, because prophets take, the whole Bible is prophetic. It's telling us God's thoughts in advance. It's letting us know how it all winds up. You know, the devil comes and he says, oh, you've been lousy, you failed, you made mistakes, look at all your past. And while the devil's busy uncovering your past, why don't you get busy telling him about his future? That's what the Word has the capability of doing. The Word is creative. It can speak things forward and they happen. We got to stop thinking about all the mistakes that we've made and how to avoid them. And we get really excellent, we think, at avoiding. But isn't it amazing that the things you keep trying to miss and avoid, you keep hitting? If you keep thinking the thoughts you've always thought, you keep getting the results you've always got. I mean, that's how it works. You know, and even we learn from Job, what a revelation Job got from God, but it took a lot of pain for Job to get there. But Job sat on the ash heap and said, that which I greatly feared has come upon me. You know what fear is? Fear is actually a vision of your future. What you worry about, what you fear, you're actually going to experience. It's a race car driver who's trying to miss the orange cones, but he keeps hitting them because he's trying to avoid them. Instead of doing what the real excellent race car driver was teaching the new guy, look at the space, don't look at the cone. Look at the, you know, Holy Spirit is always positive, never negative. A lot of Christians are going around very negative. They're worried about this, they're talking negatively about that. Why are we focused on the negative? I don't want to focus on Satan's perversion of God's creation. I want to focus on God's creation. I see in you a son or daughter of God. You are a created being of God. But not only are you a created being of God, you're a creative one. Because the Word begets the Word. And the Word is always creative. Do you believe that? So how many understands we're living in a time when the mystery of God is being completed, finished. God has a vision. What is a mystery? A mystery is a vision God has he doesn't tell anybody. So actually it's not a mystery, because before it's a mystery, it's hidden in God. You know, the word mystery is a Greek word, which gives us a human word that we use called mum. You know, the secret's with me. I have the secret. So it's still a secret. It just means generally people don't know the secret, but there are some who do. And that's called a mystery. That's why it's a secret. A secret is something that someone has told somebody. So it's a secret. Not everybody knows, but somebody knows. You know, a lot of times people have secrets in their families. They have bones hidden in their closets. They know where the bodies are buried. right? But not everybody else knows. And then a person gets married and they bring somebody else foreign into the family. And that person is going to have a journey in married life of finding out where the bones are. And it's quite interesting, sometimes not very comfortable. But that's life. That's the life we live in, right? That's how it goes. And I want you to understand, that's a mystery. So God, whenever the Bible identifies a mystery, like Paul says, I'm going to tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep. We will not all die, but we shall all be changed. It wasn't really discussed before. Paul got a revelation of a mystery, and he shared it as a mystery. And all through the church age, it remained pretty much a mystery. The church kind of knew what it was, but the rest of the world had no clue, right? And then what does God do when he's finishing? How does God finish a mystery? A mystery is finished when it's fully revealed and comes to pass, right? He brings it to pass. He brings it into manifestation. It's got to come into manifestation. Praise the Lord. And so in Romans 8, it talks about the fact that there's a glory that's hidden in the sons and daughters of God. That all creation is groaning. Think of this for a minute. Old creation. How many is part of old creation? Anybody wake up with an ache or a pain this morning? That's old creation. It's groaning. For what? For new creation. Very simple. There's something missing. Something's not right. It's groaning. And the Bible says, what is it doing? He says, creation is waiting eagerly for the manifestation of the sons of God, for the glory that is to be revealed in us. Praise the Lord. Did you read all? Everybody read Romans 8? And then ultimately it says, what will it be? It'll be the redemption of our bodies. That, just to be clear on it. What is the glory that's in us? The Bible tells us the hope of glory. Christ is in you, the hope of glory. The mystery of God that's been hidden is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The hope is the expectation. You know, we live in a world today where there's so much anxiety. It's medically, a lot of people struggle with it. Anxiety, depression. And one of the greatest things that I've found that actually helps people who struggle with anxiety, and really the Bible talks about it, is hope. Hope deferred, the Bible says, causes a person's bones to become brittle, right? Because it just affects us emotionally, physically. But when we have hope, it says when it returns, it's like the tree of life. Hope is an expectation of something. In fact, in Romans 8, it says, and by this hope we are saved. It's very strange because we all know that we're saved by faith. We're saved by believing Jesus died 2,000 years ago. That saves you. Right, but he's talking about a different kind of saving. Your soul is saved by believing that Jesus died for you. But what's going to save this old man? What's going to save this body? Hope. An expectation of a new one. If God could come down and hover and overshadow a virgin teenage girl and create himself in her. That same God through him in redemption can hover over us in a baptism of the Holy Spirit and a baptism of the revelation of the Word and begin creating in us a part of himself. Hallelujah. It's a part of him in you. He's creating. That can take these atoms of this body, these molecules, these cells, and rearrange them, and you're instantaneously a young man and a young woman again, permanently, eternally, for the rest of your life. This is God's doing and not man's. This is God's creation and not in a man, not a human being. This is our God. He's the creator. He's doing this. He that has begun a good work in you shall complete it on the day of Christ. And we're coming into the day of Christ. The day of man is coming to an end. Man is on a self-destructive course. He is colliding with himself. It is demons killing each other off. But Jesus is coming. This is the day of Jesus. You are sealed unto the day of your redemption. And that is your body changed. Do you love him for that?
God's body was developed around the promised word of God. God spoke first to Eve and said, "The woman shall have a seed that'll bruise his head." Hallelujah! A woman having a seed. Only men have seed, right? That's the sperm. How does a woman have a seed? She has an embryo. Why? Because he's speaking of Mary. Told Isaiah, right? "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." God with us. What? That's right. Isn't that something? Why? All these promised words. Moses, "I'll raise up a prophet like unto you. He will be the Messiah." Promised words. "David, out of your loins. Judah, out of your tribe shall come the scepter that'll rule." Hallelujah. Jesus. 85 verses of scripture in the Old Testament or more you can find that were just spun out by God, spoken creatively forward, spoken out of prophets' mouths and spoken out of their lives and then finally converging on Mary, the virgin, overshadowing her, creating in her this body. Praise the Lord. And God was there developing this promised son based on promised word. Hallelujah. If the man Christ Jesus is the beginning of the creation of God, then who is the completion? Who's the completion of the creation of God? God can't have a beginning and not have an end. You don't start a concert with a beautiful piece of music and just have one movement. You got to have like four or five or however many. You need a crescendo. If Christ, the man, Christ Jesus, is the beginning of the creation of God, who's the finish? I'm going to tell you who. It's Christ. It's still him. But it's him in you. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's Jesus in a bride form. Hallelujah. It's Christ in the form of a redeemed people who understand the whole depths of redemption. Hallelujah. I got one more quote I want to read to you. It says, "Your new body comes from this born again." Where does your new body, how many believes you're going to have a new body? Paul says, we will not all die, but we'll all be changed. Those who died and those who don't die, when Jesus comes, we'll all be changed. Imagine that. How many would love to experience the rapture? I mean, I feel like we're a special people that we get to live in a time when it could happen today. It can happen in a week. It can happen in a month, in a year, 10 years. It can happen in our lifetime. And how many understands that when Paul says, "I show you a mystery," it wasn't a mystery about rapture, a man being caught up to God, because Enoch was, Elijah was, right? Even Jesus had already been. So there was all these catching ups already that people knew about that. But what was kind of missing was, what kind of body will we have? You know, Paul starts dealing with that. Well, it's beautiful when Paul brings that out and he says, "Hey, look, we will not all die. We shall all be changed." There's going to be a body change while we're still here, just before we meet him. Think of that, because Paul says these mortal bodies cannot go there. They have to become immortal before they become glorified. But it all happens very quickly, but it's beautiful. But where does the new body come from? The Bible has been telling us all along. We just weren't paying attention. Romans 8 again. The glory that's in the sons and daughters of God shall be revealed, unveiled, manifested. It will produce the redeemed body. The glory that's in you by the baptism of the Holy Spirit has brought the word to life in you. And that word in you, that's what the new birth is. How many believes that? It's really not you being born again. Should I go back into my mother's womb and start all over? No. It's about something that God has placed in you being born again. That is the word, right? Inside part of you, he says, now that your new body comes from this born again inside part of you down in here. The person that cannot die, that's the person that the new life starts from this new birth. And it builds another person in the image of this person you are. It builds it around this life. The life of Christ is in you. Can you thank God for that? Amen. And it's a new body will be built right around it. See? And he says it this way. So potentially your new body is in here. Like Mary, you're just pregnant. You're carrying a body. It's God creating himself a body. Hallelujah. In the image of person, it says, so potentially it's in here. And what is it? The word promised before the foundation of the world, the word that's in you, the body will materialize around that word. Hallelujah. You're hearing something now. Are you eating eagle food? You know, when you eat natural food, it's to help this old creation die a little slower. Think about it. Right? Some people eat food that makes them die a little faster, or lifestyle. But I'm sharing this with you because I want you to understand this. But when you read your Bible, Jesus said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood. What was he talking about? He wasn't speaking of his physical body or his physical blood. He was speaking about the word that made his body, the word that made his blood, the creative word. When you read the word and listen to the word and hear the word and you receive the life of his blood, which is the Holy Spirit, every time you hear the word, you receive more of the Holy Spirit. You know, there's no limit. God can keep pouring more. If he gave you an earnest of the Holy Spirit, then there must be more of it. A down payment means there's more, right? So if you're hearing the word and you're enjoying it and something in you is just can't get enough of it, thank God for that, because there's something in you that's eating that word. And what you are what you eat. So as you're something in you is eating that word, it's starting to bring you to a place where even everything that is in the jurisdiction or the realm of that word that's in you, praise the Lord, is becoming subject to it. Why are you sitting here in church? Why did you come to church? Why do you come when it's COVID out there? So terrible, scaring everybody's minds. I understand that. Why are you here? Because you, something in you, your natural person wouldn't do it. But the inside one is saying, I'm going to hear the word of God, and that word of God is going to change me. And from glory to glory, he's changing me, hallelujah, into his image and into the very creation that he was. We are becoming a part of that. Isn't it great to know that we're not just here on this earth to live some 70, 80, 90 years and then die and that's the end of it, as the atheists try to teach? Isn't it exciting to know, just as you spent 9 months in your mother's womb, developing for not the womb, but for the world outside of the womb? You developed hands. What good are hands in your mother's womb? No good. What good are feet in your mother's womb? What good are eyes or ears? You can hear a little bit. We know that. But the whole purpose of everything God developed in your mama's womb for 9 months was so that you could successfully live in the next world. And now you're here for 70, 80 years in the womb of this creation. And God, if you will not be a stillborn baby, like some people are being, stillborn and die in their womb, if you want to live, if you can see God wants to develop spiritual eyes and spiritual ears and spiritual mouth and spiritual language. He's building a spiritual person in this womb that we're in right now. What for? For the next world. The one where you live 1,000 years, 1,000,000 years, forever. How many wants that? How many can be excited about that? That's why you're here. That's why you're sitting. You're not just here to hear a good word and live a good Christian life and kind of be a moral person on this earth and leave a little dent and hopefully did something and left an impact. That's not why the only reason you're here. You are here preparing for the world to come. For you have tasted of the powers of the age to come. And not only tasted, but you're drinking it in. It's becoming part of you. You are already becoming an eternal being. You already have the millennium in your heart sown in there by the DNA of God. Hallelujah. I am a millennial being. You know, will the real millennials stand up? You know what I'm talking about? People say, I tell people that I'm a millennial. They go, You're like a boomer or something. I said, no, I take offense to that boomer stuff. I'm a millennial. What are you talking about? And then you get to share with them. There's this age. Just tell the story. You were 9 months in your mother's womb. Why? God was preparing you for this world. Now you're in this world. What do you think God's doing? He's preparing you for the next one, the millennium. I am a millennial. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Musicians can come. Father, we thank you for your word. It means so much to us, Lord. And we mostly thank you for the author of the word, the Holy Spirit, that you can come, Lord, and speak into our hearts these things and help us to catch them. I thank you, Lord, that how you speak to hearts, people can really hear something that will help them. So, Lord, at this moment, would you continue to feed us Typically, Lord, when we go to a restaurant and eat something, we leave the restaurant a half hour later, maybe a day later, we've forgotten. We don't know anything about it. And maybe used up all the energy that that food provided. And Lord, a lot of times people come and hear something in a public audience, something spoken by a speaker. And by the time they walk out, they only remember 25%. And as the days go by, it gets less and less. But don't let that be here, Lord. Let this be hearing. Our faith comes by hearing the word of God. I pray that as we go, that the Holy Spirit, Lord, keep speaking to each person of the things they've heard this morning. Let there be an excitement rising up. Lord, we're living in a world where it's so dark and doom and dark winter and everybody's fearful and looks like businesses are going to go out and lockdowns are going to happen. People are just stressed about it. I pray you forgive us for allowing ourselves to be that way. And may we now turn our eyes unto the author and finisher of our faith, the apostle and high priest, Jesus Christ, who's the beginning, the beginner of the creation of God, and that we can remember we are now part of this new creation. Grant it now, Father, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. He's in the house. Help me start that, Gideon. Oh. Oh, all were weeping. You can see the words. So only. Isn't that amazing how Jesus can see it? Yep. As he took her by the hand and began to live again. Some began to praise. How many's praising? And some began to say, the house, death has to flee. Now there is life where darkness used to be. Now there is hope. There's no more doubt. Praise your name. Lord, we praise your name. He's in this house. Think of your body as a house he's in. Let's sing the next verse. Well, I was like that little girl, was dead in all my sin. But then Jesus touched this heart of mine. He gave me life again. Amen. I am just a house of clay. But ever since that blessed day, there's a light that shines through me, all the world to see. This house, well, death has to flee. Now there is life. God, the Creator, is in you. Hallelujah. Oh, now there is hope. There's no more doubt. Praise His name. Praise His name. Let's sing it to Him personally. You're in the house. Sing it to Him now. Well, you're in the house, and death has to flee. Oh, now there is life where darkness used to be. Oh, Lord, you are the hope, and there's no more doubt. Praise your name. Well, praise your name, 'cause you're in this house. Hallelujah. You're in this house, Lord. You're the one in here. You're the one creating. You're creating a new body. Hallelujah. And if any one of us should pass away unexpectedly, we know that we have a Creator who has begun the work and shall complete it on the day of Christ. You'll come out of the heavens, O God, and the Spirit of God will lift up bodies out of the earth, redeemed, and down will come the saints and enter those bodies, and we shall all be changed, and have glorified bodies to meet Jesus in the air. What a glorious promise, Lord. We believe that promise has to happen. And it's happening right now while we're here. Praise your name. Praise your name. You're in the house, so death has to flee. You are the life where darkness used to be. Lord, you're the hope, and now no more doubt. So I praise your name. We all praise your name, for you're in this house. Father God, I just feel anointed to just say for each person, from this day on, fear nothing. Fear not COVID. Fear not disease. Fear not what man can do to you. Fear not the arrow that flies by night, nor the vulture that flies by day. Have no fear. God is your shield and buckler. He's your high tower. He's your victory. He is the wings that you can hover under. He is the eagle above the eagles. He is the caretaker. He will watch over you. He is your hedge. He is holding you in his arms. He is keeping you safe. He has brought you through such terrible times. He has saved you from all kinds of troubles and diseases. He has protected you your whole life. He has brought you to this point. You're here right now for this very purpose. It is Christ Jesus who has called you. He is speaking to you. He's addressing you. He's bringing you into his fold. He will provide for you all the finances that you need. He will give you a home that you need. He will bless your family. He will bless your life. He will give you the spouse you need. He will give you all things, for he is the God that gives you all things. He has created it already for you. It is already prepared for you. Hallelujah. And everything you touch, everywhere your feet are planted, is a place that's creatively God's home. Everywhere you go is God's place. Everything you do in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Every word you speak, speak in the name of the Lord as the oracles of God. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, clean our mouths, Lord. Clean our mouths with the coal of fire. Let there be no negative word coming out of our mouths anymore. Let there be positive word. Let there be the word of God. Let it be the power of God, the inspiration of the Lord. From now on, Lord, let the word come forth. I drive fear out of here in the name of Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus is here. I drive the devil out, every worry, every concern. I drive it out in Jesus' name. Every lying devil, you must leave in Jesus' name. We command you in the name of the Lord Jesus, as Paul did, as Peter did, as the early church did. We do it according to the word and the will of God in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Well, I'm a new creation. We pick a key for that. I don't know what it would be, but let's just sing that. Let's all stand, and then you'll be dismissed. Amen. Well, I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I've been born again. Oh, by a conqueror. Well, that's what I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Sing it again. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Amen. Old things have passed away. I've been born again. Thank you, Lord. More than a conqueror. That's what I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Amen. As you're dismissed, we'd like you to step outside for fellowship. Don't fellowship inside the hall here. We'd like you to do that. And just make sure you greet everybody, and we ask your blessings. Amen. Keep praying for us, supporting us.